One thing that we tell parents to be aware of is, you know, every time I do my trainings, I'll have people say, well, my kid's never going to a ball game again. My kid's never going to the mall again. My kid's not doing this again. And there's nothing wrong with being safe for actual kidnapping off the street corners or away from a game or anything. But the most dangerous area that kids are probably approached is through social media, through their phones, through their computers, through different apps. In fact, it seems like every year there's a new app that comes out.
Since 1864, over 150 years ago, when the evil called slavery was declared illegal by the 13th Amendment, there are more slaves today worldwide than at any point in history. Today, slavery or human trafficking generates $32 billion in profits each year, according to the State Department. In a two-year period, the FBI opened 2,515 human trafficking cases, 80% of which involve children. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children estimates that between 100,000 and 300,000 children are at risk for commercial exploitation every year within the U.S. borders. A sad, sad story to talk about today, but we want to welcome you to Mid-South Viewpoint. I'm Byron Tyler, and today we are going to talk about the disgusting evil of human trafficking and ways you can engage the issue to protect our children. Sarah Hodges is in the studio with us. We also have phone guests. We'll be talking to a couple of different people by phone throughout this interview. But Sarah, first, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Bot Radio Network.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are planning an event this Sunday night we're going to give details about. First of all, tell me something about Sarah Hodges.
Well, I was listening to Jody in Jackson a couple of months ago. When I left, I was in tears. It just absolutely broke my heart. And then I was listening to Dr. Chandler here in South Haven talk about the things that are going on in the foster care system. The kids are being trafficked there, being abused, and I left in tears then. I just prayed about it, and I said, God, you know, this is breaking my heart. I think if the church knew what was going on, I think they would step up. And I kept praying about it, and it was like he said, just do it. That's when I contacted all the large churches down there, and my church was the first one to say yes.
You are a member of Broadway?
Yes, I am.
Sarah, basically, are you a housewife? Professionally, what have you done?
Okay, I'm a paralegal. I work at a big law firm here. I do real estate. Most of the people I deal with are happy. They're buying or selling, and I work with a wonderful group of Christian people. Our chief partner is a Sunday school teacher. It's a wonderful place to work, and there's probably 100 people there.
Being motivated by facts and stories and information you saw, what was the most disturbing thing when you heard Jody speak and when you heard some of these speakers? Was it a convention, a conference? Where were you at when you heard them?
I was at a luncheon when I heard Jody. Then I was at a meeting when I heard Dr. Chandler. I am very passionate about certain things, conservative things, to be honest. And when I know there's an event that I think I might want to hear a speaker talk about, I make an effort to get there. God has given me this passion for children. I know he has. I absolutely love children. And I have three granddaughters that live in Mississippi. It just really breaks my heart because parents need to know what to look for.
You're right, Sarah. This is a very disturbing topic. Social injustices in general. There's a lot of times the church won't step out on issues. Something as vile and evil as human trafficking, this is at the heart of God, mm-hmm. You know, and so we've got to talk about it. Talking about Jody Diaz is a member of the Mississippi State Human Trafficking Task Force and also executive director of Say Something. He joins us by phone right now from Jackson, Mississippi. Jody, welcome to Bot Radio.
Thank you for having us today.
When we were talking before going on the microphone, you said that you had just spent some time this weekend cruising somewhere down in Mississippi, I believe.
Cruising the coast, big hot rod classic car event on the Gulf Coast.
Did the inclement weather cause problems for that?
It knocked out the last day of it. We left a day early because of the hurricane coming in. We have a big 48-foot mobile command unit that we use to do operations out of, so we wanted to get it out of there before it would have been hard to try to get it out.
So this was more of an enjoyable time for you to go to the car show?
Not this year. This year we actually worked it. We know that around large events where population increases, prostitution increases, and when prostitution increases, human trafficking is always interwoven in there. So we went and did some intel surveillance. We did online investigations, running ads, looking for differentiating between prostitution ads and trafficking ads, what might be a minor. Gave all those leads. We gave several leads over to the local sheriff's office in Harrison, Jackson County. And also one of the missing girls that we were looking for, a 14-year-old girl, was recovered at Red Roof Inn.
Oh, thank God for that. Is she back with her family now?
Don't know the details at this point. At that point, she's in CPS and state's got control of that. And so that kind of removes our hands from it until they need our assistance.
But your part was so key.
Well, we want to say so. You know, that's part of the deal that we do. We are not law enforcement. We don't come in. We're not cuffs and guns. We furnish everything so that law enforcement can make the arrest if there's any to be made, get the court-ordered things in place to get the rehabilitation and the recovery of the victims back to where they need to be. We also want to kill the trafficking rings, you know, the Johns, the traffickers, or the pimps. We want all that to be arrested and processed. When I say killed, I mean annihilated or stopped.
Definitely want to see it stopped. Now, this task force that you're part of, this was commissioned, I believe, by Governor Bryant.
He started one originally. This is actually the Central Mississippi Human Trafficking Task Force. The governor's task force that was the assessment task force has since timed out and dissolved, and so they're now rebuilding a new one. With that, everyone in the Central Mississippi area agencies, law enforcement agencies and everything, with the approval of both the governor's office, created the Central Mississippi Human Trafficking Task Force, where intel, procedures and policies are being written and things to help combat trafficking. Because in all honesty, as you were speaking earlier in the launch, it's still an ever evolving process, and everyone's still trying to figure out the right ways to handle things, you know. So.
Right. Well, Jody, the national statistics on human trafficking are riveting. What do the numbers look like specifically in Mississippi?
Even the numbers nationally, I always say approximate or estimated. I don't even give exact numbers because when you're saying how much money human trafficking makes, no one really knows that. That's a rough estimate. Because traffickers don't do tax returns, so you're
exactly
getting an accurate number on that. We're not even getting accurate numbers on that. We know how many actual cases are prosecuted in the country and stuff.
Half of $32 billion is way too much.
Oh, yeah. Well, one case is too much for us. But the way we see it, though, in our state, it really depends on where it gets qualified or prosecuted as trafficking. There may be something that meets the trafficking statistics or by law it would be a trafficking case, and then it'd be prosecuted out lesser, and so those numbers aren't even accurate then. So you don't even have it actually if you know it was a trafficking case based on what it could have been, and then it's pleaded out for something less, then it doesn't show up as trafficking anymore. So it's hard to get those numbers exactly.
What are some of the trends in human trafficking that parents should know about and be concerned about?
Especially with, I would say, your upper teenagers, 14 years. The average age of a girl drawn into prostitution in the country right now is 12 to 14 years of age, especially runaways or throwaway kids. Usually if they have left within 48 hours of being on the street, they're going to be approached by someone that's going to exploit them. That's a proven factor, especially with survivors that we work with, especially in a lot of our presentations and stuff. They tell us the exact same thing. One thing that we tell parents to be aware of is, you know, every time I do my trainings, I'll have people say, well, my kid's never going to a ball game again. My kid's never going to the mall again. My kid's not doing this again. And there's nothing wrong with being safe for actual kidnapping off the street corners or away from a gang or anything. But the most dangerous area that kids are probably approached is through social media, through their phones, through their computers, through different apps. And in fact, it seems like every year there's a new app that comes out that could be a potential danger, especially one that has live location based. Snapchat's come out with a new thing that you can actually see where someone's snapping at live right then. Periscope, Facebook Live, you can see where people's at live time whenever they're posting something. And so location based apps are dangerous. Other things is
community malls. I mean, I have a family member who is in a grave right now. She was a model student at the University of Memphis, working part-time at the local mall, was enticed by somebody who came in and gave attention to her, thought it was a dating relationship, probably not too long after that, she had become a drug addict. And after that, she had become a prostitute. And then she was living in a brothel down on 3rd. Finally, she got sick, and then they just threw her out on the streets. A couple weeks later, she died. So this is a very important concern of mine, because I have a family member that's not alive today because of it, Jody.
And that's a story that we hear way too often. The exact same thing. Whenever someone... We have some personal experiences that ours actually did turn out better than we experienced. We also have some other team members, the Hikuses, that's on the Free International team that we serve on from Montana. Their daughter was trafficked. She broke down at a truck stop, and a guy was going to help her out. And next thing you know, she's rescued in Las Vegas, where she was being prostituted out.
What are some of the biggest obstacles, Jody, to overcome when dealing with human traffickers?
Let's kind of put that down into perspective, what trafficking looks like first. There's two different things that actually qualifies something to be trafficking. For a minor to be trafficking, all you have to prove is there's some sort of exchange of value for the exploitation of that minor. It can be money, it can be for a night's stay, it can be for a set of rims, it can be for drugs, anything of that nature. For adults, you have to prove force, fraud, or coercion was involved in the exploitation of that, which would be a lot like your family member you're talking about, where there was a forced use of drugs, the addiction that came on that, promise of something better that didn't come along, things of that nature. You don't have to prove none of that when it involves a minor. All you have to do is prove there's exchange of value. And a large majority of stuff that qualifies for that is what's called familial trafficking, which is probably the part that disgusts me. All of it disgusts me, but this one probably disgusts me the most, because familial trafficking is where the victim knows who's selling them: mom, dad, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, something like that. Boyfriend, we've heard, even the landlord.
I've even heard that dads are selling their daughters oftentimes.
We found a five-year-old that the dad was getting paid by another guy to bring her to his house so that guy could produce child pornography of her. And so because there was an exchange of value, that's what it is. The next one we had seen, that was a six-year-old that her stepdad traded her for a set of rims for his truck after he had been molesting her for a while. And then he traded her for sex for something that he wanted for himself.
And Jody, we're seeing homes in prominent affluent neighborhoods in the Memphis area used to operate human trafficking activity. This shows you just how subtle and unassuming these people are trying to be.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. We found it in trailer parks and campgrounds, and we found it in multimillion-dollar homes and everything in between. This is an issue that has nothing to do with socioeconomics. It has nothing to do with race. It has nothing to do with political parties. It goes after everybody, and everybody should see that it's a need that needs to be fought. A lot of people, and, you know, I'm glad we opened up with prayer, because our scripture we stand on to do what we do is James 1:27. Which says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And to me, there's no bigger orphan in the world than one that society's let down and is exploiting or selling. Whether that child is in their own home and being exploited, that makes them orphaned by their parents in my eyes. The latter part of that is the church's responsibility, is to keep oneself being polluted by the world. I think too many times we've gotten polluted over this issue, because we'll go into Memphis, we'll go into Jackson, we'll go into Little Rock, we'll go in these places, and we see girls on the streets, and that's just a prostitute, that's just a hooker. We downgrade them and don't ever see them as a victim or adapt a victim's mindset.
Anytime you can devalue human life, then you can do or whatever you want to do if it's not a human. And that's basically what's happening.
And I personally don't think there's ever been a young lady or a young girl that woke up one day and said, you know what, I want to sell myself for a living. This is what I want to do for my rest of my life. I don't think it's a chosen profession, even though some refer to it as the oldest profession in the world. I don't think it's a chosen profession. I think something drove them there, and the church a lot of times has let them down by not being there to help them in the process. Now, do they make their own decisions? Granted, yes, I'll give you that. But in the same process, you've got to still look at that person as a being and a soul that needs help. Because there's a lot of times these girls, mostly girls, and there's boys involved too, that they put on a great smile and a great act and should be award-winning actresses, because they can act like they're enjoying what they're doing But if you'll watch behind the scenes, you'll see them behind a dumpster vomiting and getting beat and getting threatened to go make the next call to the next hotel room or to the next car, you know.
Jody, we're going to have to wrap up our time with you. We want to remind our friends that you will be at Broadway Baptist Church this Sunday night. What are those times, Miss Sarah?
From 6 to 7:30.
And there's no cost, is
there? No, it's free.
This is a community awareness meeting there at Broadway Baptist Church. We've got more details to give. Jody, before we say goodbye, I also want to have you just say very quickly, you are executive director of Say Something. What exactly is this organization about?
Say Something is, we started out as a school assembly program that brings awareness to human trafficking. We also, because we deal with so many victims, we found out that there's other issues that make the victim vulnerable to be exploited, such as bullying, suicide, self-image, respect, things of that nature. So we come in, Say Something does training. In fact, I've already trained South Haven Fire Department just a few weeks ago, which is approved through the Mississippi State Fire Academy. In fact, trained over 7,000 firefighters in Mississippi alone. We do school assemblies. The school assembly is a multimedia experience. In fact, we just got done in Drummond, Montana, and we're fixing to launch in Rankin County tomorrow morning. So that's why we're having this happen. We're going to do 7 days of assemblies in Rankin County alone. We bring in $40,000 worth of sound, light, and video equipment just to get students to speak up and say something on their behalf or for their friends' behalf who they feel like might not have a voice.
Jody Diaz, we're going to have to wrap it up because we've got to move on to our next caller for this program today. If folks want information, want to talk to you about something that we shared today, how can they contact you?
Just shoot me an email. My email address is Jody, J-O-D-Y, at freeinternational.org.
Jody at freeinternational.org. Jody, God bless you. Thank you so much for what you're doing for Christ's kingdom, helping to protect our children. And thank you. That's so exciting that you opened up with that 14-year-old girl that was saved down in Mississippi this weekend. Thank you so much for what you're doing. We're going to have you back on the show and take the whole time.
Oh, we'd love to. We're up in the area often.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Sarah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Sarah, that conversation there with Jody Diaz was quite sobering. Now I know why you were stirred and motivated to do what you've been doing.
It's just unbelievable. It could be my granddaughter, could be your grandson, could be either one. And by the grace of God, it isn't, but it breaks my heart of the ones that are hurt about it.
Let's remind our friends that the event is this Sunday night at Broadway Baptist Church, 7400 Getwell Road in South Haven from 6 until 7:30. That's October 15th. There's going to be a list of speakers. We talked with Jody just now. Other speakers will be in attendance. But right now, we want to welcome Jasper Lowell with Heart Gallery Adoption. Jasper, welcome to our program.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
You're in Mississippi right now, correct?
Yes, sir. I work for Mississippi Child Protection Services.
How long have you been with this organization?
I've been with this organization 2 years.
Talking primarily on this program, Jasper, about human trafficking, and we're going to kind of move into the area of foster parenting, which I believe is something that you're well connected with.
Yes, sir. I'm actually the recruitment manager. I recruit foster families for adoption and also homes for the children.
Now, there is a disturbing thing that is happening with foster care and human trafficking.
Yes, sir. A lot of the children that are human trafficking are also in the foster home, and they're at a high risk to be human trafficking due to them looking for connections or reaching out for a connection in life.
How does the Mississippi Heart Gallery work to combat human trafficking?
What we do is actually recruit foster families, and then all foster families or adoptive families have to be licensed, go through a background check and a background screening, and we try to make the best and safe environment for the child or family connection.
So really, the main way you can deter human trafficking by making sure you have qualified house parents who can take care of these children.
Yes, sir.
Talk about some of the things they have to go through when it comes to background check and training. What qualifies someone to become a foster care parent in Mississippi?
The minimum requires you have to be of the age of 21, self-sufficient in income. You have to be married or single with no cohabitation. And there's no more than 5 children in your home. And that's just the basic requirement just for the application. And then once you complete that, that's when you move on to the background screening, your classes, because you have to take the course classes to become a resource parent. And then they also do a home study to make sure you have adequate space for the child or children.
I understand, Jasper, that part of your mission is to prevent child abuse, neglect, and exploitation, which is exactly why you exist. How does that unfold through the programs and services that you provide, which I know you provide multiple programs?
Yes, sir. Because we also have anyone that needs to report an abuse or neglect, we also have a hotline number that I'll give that at the end of the interview. And then we also have the adoption hotline for families that are looking to become adoptive parents. Because what I also do, I also partner with Adopt US Kids, and I'm the spokesperson. So they also have a resource where any families that are looking to become licensed that are not currently in Mississippi, they could send an inquiry, and we respond to those too. So we try to get as many inquiries and as many foster homes as family as possible, because it's better to have more foster homes,
yes,
and more children that are in need of foster homes.
Jasper, are you finding a good reception? Are people responding?
Yes, we get a lot of responses, because I know just from families that are not licensed, I could say in a good week I get at least 30 inquiries.
Did you say 30?
Yes, sir.
That sounds pretty good.
Because we have those just inquiries, because on the Adopt US Kids, we have a Mississippi page that has my contact information. So I get emails and calls constantly, and people just looking for the information how to become a resource parent. Even if they don't want to necessarily go through the process then, at least be a mentor or a connection for a child.
Really various opportunities that people can be involved.
Yes, and we have numerous events going on, because the Mississippi Heart Gallery is actually a physical display that we travel across the state, and we display the photos of the children, and we also have some informational cards and informational packets where families could take those or post them in their office for anybody that wants to become licensed, has our contact information on there. And then we also have photo cards of the children, and it has a basic bio of the child, and also the children, they sign their card, and also has my contact information if anybody's interested in that child.
I looked at the website this morning and saw some beautiful faces, smiling kids, looking for a home, looking for some love.
Yes, they say a picture's worth a thousand words, and on that website is very true. Because actually there's 52 children listed on that website, and 19 are already in adoptive homes just waiting on the court date to finalize their adoption. And then we have 6 that are in placement pending. And what that is where they're in an adoptive home or foster home, they're just waiting on their 6 months to elapse so they can finalize the adoption.
So you're saying, Jasper, that these foster parenting relationships often result in permanent placements, possible adoptions?
Yes.
How often do you see that take place?
It's more than, most of the time, from just the Heart Gallery alone. We started the Heart Gallery in August of last year, and we already have 19 children that are in adoptive homes.
Have you been involved with any cases, Jasper, where children have been abused by human traffickers and you guys have come on the scene and been able to bring them into protective care, find them healthy, loving homes?
Not necessarily me, because I'm more the background instead of the frontline workers, but I have some children on my caseload where they've been adopted and been brought back into custody due to suspicion of abuse or neglect. And so now we're trying to recruit a better family for them or a better safe environment for them before we put them back out there with the family.
What would you like our Bot Radio Network listeners throughout the state of Mississippi to know about your organization and how they, if they want to learn more about foster care and adoption and being a qualified parent, what should they do?
Well, we do have our website is www.mdcps.gov. And on our website, you can find out more information, become a foster parent. We have the Mississippi Heart Gallery tab. And then also anyone that's looking for a career with MDCPS, we also have a careers tab. Then we also have an email for the Heart Gallery, adoptadoptms.kids@mdcps.gov, where anybody needs any question answered or looking to become adoptive parents, they can send an email. We also have a Facebook page. And that'll be MS Heart Gallery, where we also list the children. Then we have the contact information. You'll see their basic bio. It's the same thing that's on our MDCPS website. And then we also have our foster adoption information hotline. That's 1-800-821-9157. And if anyone wants to report an abuse or neglect, that number is 1-800-222-8000.
Give that number one more time.
Okay, the Foster Adoption Information Hotline is 1-800-821-9157, and the Abuse Neglect Hotline is 1-800-222-8000. 8,000.
Jasper, you'll be coming as one of the speakers Sunday night at Broadway Baptist Church.
Yes, sir, and I also will bring in some materials. We'll have a display that will be posted for anyone looking to become a foster parent. We have informational packets, and we'll also have some of the children's cards to take back for if they want to become a foster parent.
Jasper Lowe, thank you so much for what you're doing through the Heart Gallery Adoption Program in Mississippi. Sarah, it looks like you have an event well planned out. There's other speakers, too. We haven't mentioned all. Do you care to talk about any others who will be speaking on Sunday night?
There'll be Tracy Malone's going to be talking about the needs and the church involvement, which is the main reason I wanted to have this. There are things the church needs to be doing. And then Carrie Coggins is talking about child protection policy on human trafficking. And then Jamie Wally's talking about Rescue 100. Then you heard Jasper Lowe. These children, when they are rescued from trafficking, cannot go into an orphanage. They have to go and be rehabilitated. They're traumatized.
Many of them are brainwashed.
Right. They can't go home. And so the governor and our state legislature has been getting a place ready for them to go. And that was another reason I wanted to have an event in DeSoto County. I was hoping we could find a place down there already built, or maybe somebody would donate some land and we could build a place that has qualified people, medical people, that are trained in helping rehabilitate these kids, because they just can't go home like nothing happened. It's just not going to work.
And especially if they've come out of homes where they've been abused and they've been taken advantage of.
Exactly. That's probably where a lot of it has started. My heart is, when I first realized this was burdening me, if the church just knew what was going on, I think they would step up. Because the Bible talks about us helping widows and orphans. I mean, it really does.
Yes, it does.
That's my desire. And I've emailed all these pastors. We've written all the pastors, over 300 churches in DeSoto County, asking them to encourage their congregations to come, especially if they don't meet on Sunday night anyway, the churches don't. Just spread the word. We really want the church, and we want Christians. Some of them I've talked to have been very apathetic about, you know, well, it, you know, it's happening everywhere. And we can't be that way.
We've got to do something.
We've got to step up.
This is the opportunity.
Exactly.
Well, Sarah Hodges, thank you so much. Hey, Jasper, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to your coming to Broadway Baptist Church on Sunday night. Again, friend, don't forget, this Sunday night, Broadway Baptist Church, from 6 until 7:30 p.m., there's no cost. The church is located at 7400 Getwell Road in South Haven. Now, Sarah, if somebody wanted to contact you, could they do that? Is there an email address?
Yes, schodges2@comcast.net.
Okay. Well, friends, keep this in prayer. Please engage this issue. It's so critical. That's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Byron.
I have.